was in 2010 that Veronica produced an entire hour on the writer David Foster Wallace. It had a special meaning for you, didn't it?
Yeah, that show was special to me. I mean, both because David Foster Wallace was a writer close to my heart, but from a production standpoint, I sometimes say it was sort of magical that the show sort of produced itself. People wanted to talk about David, in part because his suicide was so recent. He'd committed suicide in 2008 and sort of sent these shockwaves reverberating through the literary community and just people who loved to read and felt that they had a connection with David Foster Wallace. And one of the people who came to us was Amy Wallace Havens, David's sister. Anne Strange Champs interviewed her, and it was one of the most moving interviews that I've ever heard. Anne, what do you remember about that hour?
I remember being really worried about doing that interview beforehand. I wanted to have a really real, honest conversation, and I was very grateful to her for agreeing to talk with us, but I really didn't want to be emotionally intrusive. And I remember talking with you beforehand. I told you I was worried that we were exploiting her grief, and you said, no, she wants to talk to us. But you know, actually, there was a very real moment of grief in that conversation. There's a moment where she talked about somebody bringing her a tissue, and what she couldn't see because we were not in the same studio is that it pretty much at that moment I was reaching for the box of tissues myself. But what I loved most about that interview is not the little moment of tears. It's the sound of the affection and the fondness in her voice when she talks about David Foster Wallace. And I guess what she taught me is that the way in which grief and happiness can intermingle and be all there all at the same time. So that's what I remember about that interview.
Yeah, it's beautifully said. It was one of the most loving interviews that I've ever heard. And so this is Amy Wallace Havens talking about her brother, the writer David Foster Wallace, in an interview we recorded in 2009. And he was known for his essays, his short stories, and of course his epic novel, Infinite Jest.
He was sort of benevolently sadistic, if that makes any sense at all. He very much enjoyed figuratively pulling my wings off and then watching what happened. He knew every button to push to make me hysterical. He was, you know, 2 years older and that much smarter, and he was always a lot bigger than I was. Probably the funniest thing that he did when he was a kid, during the long, gray, boring winters when there just isn't that much to do, once in a while he would decide that day he wasn't going to be David. He was going to be Captain Phlegm and his sidekick, Goatbile. And he would be both of them at once. And I don't really remember what their purpose was or what if they had superpowers or what they actually did. But I can still, you know, shudder thinking I used to beg my brother to be allowed to be Goat Bile on a Sunday afternoon. And I wasn't worthy. He would do them both himself.
So your brother had his first brush with depression when he was still living at home. Do you remember that time?
Yes, I do. He had left for college, and he came back his sophomore year in the middle of the year unexpectedly. And this just stunned all of us. We had absolutely no idea what he was going through and what he was struggling with. And that was a very memorable and difficult time.
That must have been really hard for you as little sister to see your big brother come home like that.
It was really scary because he'd always been big and strong and he could do anything. But I do remember when he came back from Amherst in the middle of the year, we would sit in his bedroom when I got home from school, and sometimes he would get in my mom or dad's car and just drive around and try to find me and give me a ride home. And then he would just talk about loneliness and wondering how people get up every day and function. At the time, I think I was working at Baskin Robbins, and he said, how do you do that when somebody comes into the store and asks for an ice cream? How do you do that and not just want to run out the back door? It was very frightening to think that the depression could be so incredibly powerful. And then it took a while, but he had therapy and medication and got markedly better.
I know he had really, really rocky times throughout all those years. There were years that were good. I mean, he got married and by all accounts had a really number of very stable, very happy years, which I think made all of his family and friends also very happy because it had taken him so long. What was David Foster Wallace as a happy and fulfilled family guy like?
It was neat to see. He definitely found the person for him in Karen, and she got him on every level. She thought it was absolutely great that he dressed the way that he did. And it was nice to see him so happy. And I think he finally felt like he spent most of his life really not feeling like a grown-up. And marrying Karen, I think, soothed that element of him.
So that the last year before his suicide sounds like things hit bottom again. The portrait that's kind of emerged of your brother is of a very, very brave, courageous person who tried to endure what felt unendurable and who finally really just couldn't take it anymore. At least that's kind of how it's been reported. How would you tell it?
That is exactly. That's. He was very brave. And he really did try so hard. When he did die, there was not a minute that I thought that I was angry at him or that if he'd only tried harder, I knew how hard he tried. I need a minute.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Yeah.
I just got a whole box of Kleenex brought to me.
So we don't leave you with you having to walk out there in tears. When you remember him and you want to remember the good parts and not feel sad, you know, and just remember him with some lightness in your heart, what sort of things do you think of?
Sometime in the 80s, we drove cross country together. I was in school at Virginia at the time, and he was moving back to Tucson. And his radio was awful, and it was an AM radio, and so we had this boom box with tapes in it, and we ran out of batteries at one point, and we were in Texas. And David didn't want to stop because we had to go at least 200 more miles before we could have dinner or whatever, you know, the fabulous prize was at the end there, and buy batteries. So he decided he was going to teach me to sing harmony. And I didn't want to learn how to sing harmony. And we were stuck in this tiny Volkswagen Rabbit in Texas as the sun was setting. And David had a lovely singing voice, and he was actually in the Glee Club at Amherst with Prince Albert of Monaco, actually. Little tidbit there. But so we're driving along, and David say, "No, really, Amy, it's you can learn how to do this, and then we can just sing wonderful harmonies for the rest of the trip." And I said, "I don't want to sing wonderful harmonies for the rest of the trip. I want to get batteries. You know, let's just stop at the. I see a store right there. No, no, no. When I go ah, you go ah. You know." And this went on for 200 miles, and I grudgingly tried to make reach the unlikely pitch he was expecting me to reach and sustain. And he did finally, thank God, give up on me. And I think he bought me a Hostess cupcake when we finally got the batteries and apologized. But I just think about that. And that's just kind of David in a nutshell. I am tone deaf. I was never going to learn how to sing harmony in that car. And I was pissed off. I didn't want to, but I will never forget that. And whenever I start thinking, you know, oh God, this is just so sad and this is so awful, I think of being in that Volkswagen Rabbit. And I think, you know, I will never, ever regret having David for a brother, and I've got wonderful memories, and I can still hear his voice in my head, not in a scary, mentally ill kind of way, but he had a very distinctive, soft, lovely voice. And whenever he'd call me on the phone, he'd say, "Hey, Aim." And once in a while, I just hear that. And, you know, he's there.
That's Amy Wallace Havens, the sister of the late writer David Foster Wallace. He was celebrated for his mammoth novel, Infinite Jest, and for his essays and short stories.